Great. So if you've got a Bible this morning, turn with me to Matthew 5 as normal. And we are looking from verse 21. And if you want a title for this sermon, I've called it The Secret Sin of Anger. I don't know how much I focus on anger itself, but we do talk about it. But it is really about, it's the secret bit that's important. So Matthew 5, verse 21. So we've gone through the Beatitudes. This is as the great preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the Beatitudes are the delineation of the Christian. So what believers are supposed to be like in their characters. And then he talks about the influence of believers in verses 13 to 16, talking specifically about the salt of the earth and the light of the world, the influence that believers are supposed to have. And then he introduces the rest of the whole of the sermon with the verses from verse 17 to 20, when he talks about not abolishing the law and the prophets, but fulfilling them, bringing them to their fullest completion. He is the one that the whole thing points to. So the whole of the Old Testament points to Jesus, and he's not breaking the commandments. He's actually fulfilling them. And then he moves on to talk to us about specific commandments. So we pick it up in verse 21. You have heard that it was said, and that's important, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool or raka, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift here before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come quickly and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you that you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. He's taken after his mum, that's all it is. He's practicing. That's all it is. He's practicing. They're obviously having a good time. We're going to have a good time as well. We might not run around like they do, but we're going to have a good time as well. So let's think about this question. And I should give you a health warning. There is pause for uncomfortableness in this. If I say something that makes you uncomfortable, please be assured I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. That's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you of something that you need to deal with. So I've tried to be as careful as I can with the way I've worded things. So hopefully it will come out the right way. But if it does make you feel uncomfortable, I don't apologize for that because it's not me that's doing it. Oh, they're on time as well. Good stuff. So think about this question. Have you ever been so angry or mad at someone that you wished they were dead? I'm not going to look at anyone. But have you ever said, oh, I could just murder them? Now, think about the person that you said that of. Were they Christians? Were they not Christians, I suppose, really? How do you think they would have felt if they'd known that they'd upset you? Hold that in your mind. Just hold that in your mind. And we'll talk about the passage. Jesus is speaking here, as I said, not against the law because he fulfills it. What he's actually saying is against their understanding of the law. Because you see, Matthew writes, you have heard that it was said. And basically what that's pointing to is the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. So now you know why we spent all that time last week and the week before thinking about the scribes and the Pharisees. Because actually, Jesus is teaching not against the law, but against the scribes and Pharisees, whose interpretation of the law is incorrect. So what Jesus is doing is correcting their understanding of the law. He's saying, you've heard it said, but actually, that's not what is meant by the commandment. Incidentally, this is the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. They've been told. So what they've been told is, don't murder, because if you do murder, you'll be liable to judgment. And what that basically is they've put the sixth commandment from Exodus, and they've put this spurious commandment or guideline from Numbers, and they've put it together and said, that's the spirit of the law. And what they've actually done there is reduced the commandment to mere disobedience. And so you have fulfilled the commandment simply by not murdering anyone. You following me so far? So basically they've reduced the commandment to just saying, well, do you know what? I'm good. I've fulfilled the law because I've not murdered them. Anybody. And that's where the problem begins. We think that just because we've not murdered anyone, we've kept the law. It's a bit like the rich young ruler. And he said to him, you know, go and keep all the commandments. And he said, well, Lord, I've done that. And then Jesus said, all right, well, go and sell all your possessions to the poor. And give the money to the poor. And the rich man went away sad. Why? Because his devotion wasn't to God, it was to his stuff. So if we look at the reason why the command was given in the first place, do not murder, it was given, paying attention to the context, it was given to the people of God in the desert. And the command not to murder was so that the people of God would not do damage to one another. That they wouldn't do damage to each other. Because murder splits families apart. It causes much anger, but more than that, murder comes from a spirit of being angry. It was much more simply than don't kill each other. It was don't split each other open. Is more what the spirit behind the commandment was. And so Jesus continues and he speaks about people who then insult each other. Because actually, as Jesus has said, out of the mouth flows the heart. And if we're speaking insults and mean-spirited thoughts towards other people, Jesus is basically saying you're liable to divine judgment. Because you're doing damage to the body of Christ, whether you realize it or not. So why is this so important? Why was that so important to the people of God? It is important because they were supposed to be witnesses of God to the world. So that everybody would see the way they lived and show the world what God was truly like. So, if we're angry and upset and don't like each other and we insult each other behind each other's backs, believe you me, it goes on. In God's eyes, what Jesus is saying here is, you're no different to a murderer. We like to have gradations of sin, don't we? Oh, well, I'm not as bad as a murderer. Actually, Jesus says, no. When you insult each other, when you're mean to each other, you are. He's basically saying, actually, there is no gradation. You're just as bad. Because when we do these things, we're seeking to do damage to one another. Now think about the question again. Ever been so mad, angry, upset with someone that you wished them ill? I'll raise my hand and tell you, yes, I have been angry and upset with somebody that I wished them dead. I don't say it proudly. I don't say it willingly. I didn't want to tell you that. But the fact is, considering what we have just listened to, what I've just said, what is your response to that? Friends, the call of Jesus in this passage is to stop doing damage to each other and then to be reconciled to each other. What he's calling for is an openness with one another. Partly so that we're not angry all the time, but partly so that we glorify God. How do we do this? Because it's all very well making you feel guilty about it. And believe you me, I've had to live this passage this week. It has not been easy, but I've done it. Because this is what Jesus instructs us to be like. And Jesus gives us ways out. And the first one is this. And you're going to laugh. Stop being angry at each other. Stop being angry at each other. Verse 22. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire, or Gehenna of fire. Gehenna was in fact a valley where it was a rubbish dump, and they used to set it on fire. And that's why it just became a euphemism for hell. Put it another way. Stop being so easily offended. Do you know, I appreciate that some of us, me included, have slightly thinner skins than we perhaps ought to. And so sometimes people will say or do something and it will cause us offence. But think about where the anger comes from. And when you think about it, why are we really angry at anyone? And it's usually because they've done something or said something that's offended us. So let's get real about anger. There are different types of anger. Jesus doesn't talk about them in this passage because it detracts from his point, I think. I'm not really sure why he doesn't distinguish there, but the point is because he's trying to make a point. But there are different types of anger. There's the righteous type of anger that Jesus had when he cleansed the temple. And he went in, he made a whip, and he told them all to get out. And he said, you're making my father's house into a den of thieves, and it should be a house of prayer. That's righteous indignation. That's good. And then what does Paul say, though, in Ephesians? In your anger, don't sin. Being angry itself is not sinful, because we can be angry. But Jesus talks here, and it's not in my translation, but it's in as a footnote. When it says, but I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, without cause. Without cause. What? Really, you could keep that in. But they've taken it out because they think the manuscripts are unreliable. But you could keep that in because it clarifies what Jesus is talking about. What the anger Jesus is talking about. Causeless anger. An offence that we've taken against somebody. Now, if you read the King James or the New King James, it probably keeps it in when it says without cause. It's things that have nothing to do with anything other than ourself. That's literally what he's talking about here. Anger where we've been personally offended and it makes no difference to anyone else but us. Nobody else. You know, I'll give you a classic example of unrighteous or causeless indignation. I was at college. I was probably 20 years old. I was LST. We had a phone system that was a little bit ropey sometimes. And the leader of the open learning department had a dodgy message which sounded like a prank call on his answer machine, and he said they'd been getting them for a while, and when he typed in the number to see where it had come from, it came up with my number. And so he sent me an email just to say, we've had some prank calls, your number came up, any ideas? ? Soon as I read that, I felt accused and started to get angry. How could he send that email? I can't believe I would never do anything like that. Doesn't he know who I am? I started getting really angry and upset about this thing. And I hauled myself into the chaplain's office and said, Chris, what do you say about that? And he said, well, I read that and I don't see anything. And I was like, oh, really? Because how could he be like that? And he said, well, the problem with the technology is we misinterpret it. I think John was just trying to... John was the name of the guy who was the leader of the department that sent the email. I think he was just trying to find out some information. I was like, oh, he said, I think your best course of action is to find him, and next time you see him, just say you're sorry for your response, because I think I fired off an angry email. Which, you know, you shouldn't do, ever. And so as it happens, on my way back from the chaplain's office, who should be in the corridor but John? So I said, look, John, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have sent that email. I reacted badly. Fact is, I don't know why my number was coming up, etc. And we patched it up. We get angry with somebody, and we can think it's righteous. And as Don Carson talks about, he said, we can be bound up with a cause. We can have a cause, it might even be for the kingdom of God, and the problem is, we get so entwined with this cause that opponents of ours become enemies, and it might even be people in the church. And when our ego is damaged, when our self-esteem is, our pride is thwarted, even though we have a righteous indignation for the cause, it actually becomes so intertwined, actually we're angry at everybody. And they think that the wrong that, and we think the wrong that they did was to us, personally. Either way, our anger towards that person is what leads to murder, or what can lead to murder. But in Jesus' mind, and this is the crucial thing, in Jesus' mind, there is no difference. So it's all very well me saying, stop being angry at each other. So how do we do that? I want to suggest to us, think about how easily I am offended or annoyed. You know, for me, when I'm stressed out and I've got too many things going on in my head, I'm very easily annoyed. It might be that that's, for some of us, we're like that. We get really easily annoyed because we're so stressed out and we can't cope with anything. Others of us have a thin skin, and we allow anything to come along and just, you know, we wear our feelings right there, and all it takes is somebody just to come along and brush them off, and that's it. We're, heads are going to roll, blah, blah, we're going to do this. What's the cause of that? More often than not, I have found in my own life, it's because I am completely and utterly selfish. I think about myself, I think about my feelings above everybody else's, and so when somebody comes along and does something that I most of the time it's me misinterpreting stuff, like with the email. And they're not being cruel at all, that's just the way they're doing things. But it's because I'm selfish. So how can we stop being angry? We've got to have a life that is not centered around me or my wants and my desires. It's got to be centered on Jesus. What does Paul say? Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. In short, if we want to stop being angry, we've got to stop being selfish. And that's not so easy to do. But there is hope. Because what does Peter say? We've been given everything needed, as we looked at a while back. We've been given everything needed for life and godliness. So you want to stop being selfish? Ask God. What does James say? If you need wisdom as to how to do something, ask God. He will give, as the old version says, liberally and without reproach. He's not going to resent you asking for it. So the first thing, stop being angry. The second thing, be reconciled. Be reconciled. Verse 23, he says, so when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go, first be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come quickly and offer your gift. Jesus here is making the point that as soon as you realize there are issues, go and be reconciled to each other. Because what he then goes on to say is that if you don't, your worship that you offer is unacceptable. Ooh. They're late. Slightly late. We've gone by about 3 or 4 weeks without them going past. But Jesus, go back to Jesus. Even our worship is unacceptable if we harbour ill thoughts towards a brother or a sister. It is more important to God to be reconciled to one another than it is to offer a gift of worship. Because, and again, this combats what the scribes and the Pharisees were peddling. They were peddling a righteousness of works, doing things to make yourself better before God, which you cannot do. Why? Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they know they can't achieve credit with God. And Jesus is saying, you have to be reconciled to each other. Now, friends, this is one of the most difficult things we are to do as God's people. Why? Because we've got to admit that we have been the offending party to the other person. It means we have to swallow our pride and our selfishness, admit our wrong, and actually face to face with the other person say to them, I did wrong, I'm sorry. You know, our society doesn't like doing that. If we have beef with somebody, rather than be reconciled to somebody, we go and take them to court. And we try and get money out of them for some ridiculous reason. Openness is a very rare thing nowadays. And yet, that is what Jesus is calling for here. If we want to stop doing damage to each other, we need to be reconciled to one another. As Paul says in Colossians 3, that we've looked at in the past, forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. We have to learn to be open with each other first. And that means allowing each other to speak into our lives. And that's the culture I want to develop here at West End, is a culture without barriers. We put the thing underneath our logo, but we've got to have a culture without barriers. And I want to say this in love, so don't hear me as berating you by any stretch of the imagination. It's not a rebuke as such, but there are people in this room, and again, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but there are people today in the church who need to get right with each other because you have issues with one another. Unspoken issues, unresolved issues. Friends, that needs to stop now. It needs to stop. We need to stop being so offended just because we don't like the other person. Yes, they might do things differently to the way we do them. Yes, they might annoy us. But again, why are they annoying you? Is it a root of selfishness that needs to come? Get out. I mean, Hebrews, make sure that there's no root of bitterness. Why? Because we do damage to the body of Christ. Friends, I want to observe something before you this morning. Have you noticed that we have had new people come in, they've come for a couple of weeks and then left? Why do you suppose that is? For weeks, I was racking my brains when I noticed this pattern. I said, Lord, what is going on where people come in, they say, oh, we enjoyed the service, and then they might come back another time, and then they leave. Why do people do it? I bet some of you asked that question as well. And here's the thing. They come in, they see a bunch of people who are randomly grouped together to do a worship thing on a Sunday morning, but they don't see any love. I'm convinced it's because we hate each other. Not that we hate each other, but we have beef with each other and we haven't resolved it. I'm convinced. Now, I will put my hands up and say, yes, there are times when I'm at fault here as well. I am not exempt from this at all. I wouldn't say this if I wasn't culpable, because I am. But friends, I want to amend that and change that. I want to make amends, and I want to be reconciled to one another. I want to be reconciled. If you've got beef with me, if I've done something to offend you, I need you to come and tell me so that we can work it through together. It's no good sitting in the pew Sunday by Sunday observing worship, because that's what we do, and not getting right with me and not getting right with one another. It's not right, friends. We've got to be reconciled to one another. So that's the second thing. Be reconciled. And the last thing, in verses 25 to 26, he says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser will hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. He's talking about debtor's prison. Do you know what would happen? You'd get chucked into debtor's prison until the debt was paid off. Who would have to pay the debt? Well, if you're stuck in prison, you can't pay the debt, can you? Other people have got to do it for you. That's not right. Jesus says, pay off your debt. Do it immediately. So the third thing is, do everything you can to make amends, and do it now. Do everything you can to make amends. You know, too often our pride and our selfishness just get in the way. Well, you don't know what that person did to me. Well, you don't know how annoying that person can be. I'm debated whether to say this, but I feel I need to. I've been around for 5 years now, folks. There's not that many of you. I know most of you pretty well by now, and I know exactly what you're like. So when you say you don't know how annoying they can be, I actually do. I'm not playing around here. I actually do. But hey, I'm still here, right? 5 years on, you look at the Hall of Fame of ministers, most of them only came for 5 years. Now, I know we can all say, well, we only offered them at the time a contract of 5 years and they chose not to stay. They chose not to stay. What does that say? I'm attempting to minister out of a spirit, a place from the spirit, not from selfish ambition. I'm not here to further my career by any stretch of the imagination. It's not a career, it's a vocation. If we have issues with someone, the question and the challenge of Jesus comes to us this morning. Have we done absolutely everything we can to make amends? Have we prayed the prayer of forgiveness for them, for ourselves? Have we made it right with the person? Is our conscience clear before God? Can you stand before God in his glory and say, yes, Lord, I don't have any issues with anyone? Now, if you'd have asked this of me a few years ago when I started, I would have said, I don't have any beef with anyone. You ask me now, there are a lot of people. There's a lot of water under that bridge now. And here's the kicker. Have we sought to bless that person recently? Have we sought to bless them? You know, one of the greatest things we can do for people in the kingdom, or to bring people into the kingdom, is blessing. Just blessing people. You know, Ali Bolton, I was in Swindon this week for a prayer and fasting day, and it was at the Stowe Community Centre, they call the community centre the Stowaway, but the Stowe is the name of the church that Ali started in her house when she moved from Bristol into the estate, Wichel Stowe Estate in Swindon. It was a brand new estate at that time. There weren't many people moved in. But what they did was, as people moved in, they'd have a box to just bless them. You know, tea, coffee, maybe a little housewarming plant, just some good things. And they just blessed them. And that is the foundation stone of everything they do, is just blessing unconditionally. Doesn't matter who they are or what they've done or where they've come from, just blessing unconditionally. I mean, she's got like full on like mini revival going on there with people coming to faith all the time. If we're going to have this culture of openness, friends, not only do we need to stop being offended, but we need to learn how to bless once we are offended and we've learned to forgive. Because I don't need to talk about forgiveness, I talk about that a lot. And if you want to know more about forgiveness, I'll point you to the Freedom Course and we can watch the DVD together. Right? When's the last time we thought to bless someone unconditionally? Just because we could. Just because we could. So, Jesus says, do everything to make amends and live to bless. Friends, I want you today not to feel uncomfortable or squirm in your seat. But if you are, that's not me. But I want you to be blessed today. So there you've got it. Jesus says, don't be angry. Don't get on each other's nerves. Well, you're going to get on each other's nerves, he says, but be quick to make amends. Because he knew, Jesus knew. You're going to do damage to each other if you've got insulting, murderous, evil thoughts towards each other because you get offended. And Jesus said, you've got to put it right. So there we've got it. The true spirit of the law, do not murder. Stop being angry with each other. Be reconciled and create this culture of openness. And do everything you can to make amends by blessing one another.